What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hello and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. Today is another girls-only episode, but of course all of our male friends and eye care are welcome to join in because we are talking about a really fun topic, and this is the relationship between optometrists and opticians. We are so dependent on each other in making a successful patient experience. And I think it's great to get the opinion of optician thought leaders out there so that we can work better together and really curate that patient experience that we all want to have. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, optician Carissa Dunphy. Well, let's talk a little bit about you first. How did you become an optician?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. My name's Carissa, and I am an ABO certified optician. I became an optician when I started working at the same practice that I'm at now. I started there 10 years ago. I started at the front desk. I was there for many years, and then I learned how to be a technician, and then I decided it's time to, you know, be an adult and make a career out of things. So fortunately, where I was at the time, I had really well-trained doctors and my lead optician, the clinic manager, and they were able to just teach me. I kind of felt like I was handed a great opportunity because I was in such a good situation at the time when I was training to take my test. So the doctors that have since retired are extremely good doctors. They were fellows, and they traveled the world to other countries where people need more help for many, many years. And they've seen a lot of different medicine for everything optometry and ophthalmology. They worked in ophthalmology for a while as well. And my clinic manager has been an optician. I can't even tell you how long. And his family was in optics. So between the doctors and my clinic manager, I just had a super well-rounded team to learn from. So anytime I ever need anything, they've already seen it and done it, so they could really explain it well. And I really just took a strong grasp on things because I had such great teachers. Once I decided to go for my license, that's when I just started hitting the books and learning the things you don't really learn on the job, like the actual ANSI standards and the Abbey values and the indices of refraction, those types of things for materials and all the actual numbers that you have to memorize. That's different than, you know, real world opticianry, I guess you could say. So, you know, once I decided to take the test, I just registered and took the test and I passed it. I just feel like it was because I had done it for so long, it almost was more natural and common sense to me than cramming to take a test. So that's kind of how I got into it. One thing I would like to say is that a lot of people are not in my situation and they may be in a remote area or somewhere where they don't have a lead optician or they don't have a good relationship with their doctors or they're just in a different place. Go online and look for resources like my website, look for social media groups and forums, because the industry that we're in, everybody wants to help people. They want others to do good and share their knowledge. So if you're having trouble finding a good platform or learning in a certain way, be proactive and go out there and find these resources because it will help you and you will find the sense of community that gives you the confidence and the knowledge that you need to get where you need to be.
That's a great segue because I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about the education and certification process of becoming a licensed optician. Obviously, you got a ton of on-the-job training and experience, but to become a licensed certified optician, what does that take?
In the process of becoming an optician, there's a couple routes that you can go. One, you can become state licensed or nationally certified. So when there's a state license, typically there are 21 states that require licensure, and you can go through the health department and get your licensure that way. In the particular state that I'm in, it was a long apprenticeship, and by the time I had decided I wanted to be an optician. I was already so many years into it, and you can't backdate your apprenticeship. So I decided to go for the nationally certified, just because I didn't have to then go backwards and log a bunch of hours. I'm not sure what each state holds. I'm sure they're all a little bit different, but they do base their testing criteria from the ABO certification. Now, like I said, there's 21 states that you have to have a license. So if you're not state licensed, you have to be nationally certified to practice. And there's a list of the states, if you're wondering if you're in on the ABO and CLE website. And the national certification, basically you register for a test, you take a test, and you pass or fail. I think they're both about the same knowledge base of needed to pass the tests. But one of the reasons why also I thought it was good to become nationally certified is because you can take it to any state with you. So if I decided to move to another licensed or unlicensed state, I would still be able to practice without having to take another state's test. So it depends on what you want to do. And like, if you're going to do the apprenticeship program, like in my state, that's a great program, and it's a structured way to learn and a great way to get licensed. So it just depends on what's right for you in your area and what you want to do with your career. As for why one would want to be certified as an optician, there's several reasons that the ABO and CLE organization promotes, which all stand true. One of which is public recognition. You can show your patients and your colleagues that you know what you're talking about, that you know you're an expert at what you do, you have an extreme competency, and you can offer those the benefits of your knowledge to their glasses. And that's a huge one in itself. The other reason is generally you make more money, which is important to everybody. The ABO says that 75% gave preference to hiring a certified applicant rather than a non-certified. And also 75% are paid higher than non-certified. And 40% gave preference on promotions to those who are certified. And after 10 years in dispensing, certified employees earn about $6,000 more per year than non-certified. That is pretty substantial numbers, and who doesn't want to make more money? So all the more reason. And this was super interesting that I found. I never even thought of this, but with all of the changes that we're going through right now with meaningful use and MIPS and QPP and PQRS and all these things for advancing the healthcare system, the ABO suggests that even opticians can be affected by managed care in the future. And what they mean by that is by being credentialed as ABO or NCLE certified, this could determine who will be accepted by managed care providers of services. So without being certified, you may not be able to be included in that type of industry who can do that service.
There's so much debate on this issue, even within optometry. I know a lot of our optometric listeners are probably familiar with national board certification within optometry. And that's been the argument that's been presented for that. You know, we all have a license, we're licensed by state, but would taking this test to be nationally certified be important to government Medicare and Medicaid programs to be included as a provider there? And we just don't know the answer to that yet. But as an optician, it sounds like, yeah, that's a very essential step that might be worth considering if you're debating, is this worth it for me or not? Not to mention, like you said, the pay grade different, which is obviously worth it head to head, it looks like. Well, you're mentioning online forums and online mentorship, and that's really one of the ways that I connected with you, because you have a very robust website and Instagram account called Optician Now. What inspired you to create that page, and how do you decide what content you're publishing?
I decided to create Optician Now because the industry that we're in, especially opticians, have a deep passion for what they do, and this new generation of employees wants to share and wants to help others. So, and the problem that I saw was that social media is just so fast paced. It's sometimes hard to find information that you're looking for. And my background is in website marketing. So I am all about creating these deep evergreen content pages and articles that people can reference easily and find and know where it's at rather than having to filter through it or search for it. So with Optician Now, I have created, which I'm still building, by the way, I have a good core on there, but it's information on ABO study material, continuing education, just general optical training information. Also, though, I felt it was important to include business information because as an optician, we have a lot of freedom to do different things in the office. You know, we're not stuck at a certain desk. And in my practice, I do a lot of marketing. So I'm starting to include things on my website like podcasts like yours of such, but also what buying groups are, the list of buying groups and how they're all different, automation services. So rather than, you know, sending out your letter or doing all these old school phone calls, there are services out there now that can make life a lot easier. I also have information on there of cool things that you can buy, not that I'm selling, but that other people in our industry make, as well as stories from other people. So I have one cool story on there about a corporate optician who decided to open her own optical shop, other things about an optician who decided to open her own mobile startup. So things like that. One of my most favorite articles is written by one of my best frame reps that I absolutely love, and it's how your frame rep should help you, what you should expect from a frame rep. So I'm really trying to cover the entire base of opticianry as a whole, not just fitting and selling glasses, but how to run the business and everything that can relate to it. So that's kind of what's on my website. And I'm just building it from there and seeing what is currently, what people are asking and where the void is that I can serve, because I do have a voice. So I think that's one of the main things is just being proactive and finding what people want to read and what's popular right now so that it can be a resource for everybody.
I totally am a girl after your own heart on this one, where a lot of people, if you look around loosely on the internet, say like, oh, blogging is dead. But the truth is social media, like you said, it's not a robust, searchable data dump where if you know a topic that you need information on, you're not going to be able to go into Instagram or a Facebook group and find that answer seamlessly and quickly. So for me, writing these in-depth blog articles really is the most helpful thing you can do if you really are trying to mentor and share information. So keep up the good work because it's a lot harder work than writing a social media post, but it's also a lot more useful to people who need information. Well, speaking of content creation, not only are you blogging, but you also work with a lot of really popular eye care magazines. You're on the Vision Monday Millennial Project, and you're also on Envision Magazine's Brain Squad. So, I mean, how did you get involved with these projects?
I have worked on a couple of really cool projects. The first one being Vision Monday's Millennial Project, which was very interesting. It was a year-long project with both opticians and optometrists. And it was basically because the generation that's up and coming and taking over the industry sees things differently and needs to be marketed to differently than those who taught us. So all the frame companies, magazines, lens manufacturers, contact lens companies, everybody has to kind of shift gears and change their marketing to target this whole new group of people. And I think it's kind of foreign. So we see like Transitions Optical with the color Transitions. You know, that was their attempt to get a new younger group of people selling their product. So that's just one example, but we see it differently. And the Millennial Project was an entire year of all sorts of different perspectives and preferences and the way things are done by this younger group of people. And I would imagine that the results of this whole project were combed through by all these big companies because they need to learn how to market to the people who are going to sell their products. The other panel that I'm on at the moment is Envision Magazine's Brain Squad. And what that is it's a survey that goes out once a month to management level opticians and optometrists who, or I think anybody in the business, and it's questions that go out and then they publish the results in their magazine. So some of the questions are number wise and some of the questions are like opinions and some of them are what happened. So you'll see a lot of the stories, and I think it's really cool that Envision Magazine does this because they're real life examples. They're not somebody corporate sitting behind a desk or somebody at the magazine sitting by a desk who doesn't go and sell glasses or look at monthly numbers and how things have improved. And they are always looking for more people on the Brain Squad panel. So if you are interested, you can go to their website and fill out a little form and they get back to you pretty quickly. So that's kind of what I've been working on. And the way I got involved in both of these actually is just staying up on top of the news and the industry. I'm really proactive and I go out and look at what's going on and who's doing what to see what I should be doing, because you can't plan too soon for what's going to happen. So I'm just really proactive in seeing what's out there and what I can have a voice on and what I can make a difference with.
Let's talk a little bit, because I can't have you on the show and not talk about like the bread and butter as a doctor in patient care every single day, doctor-optician handoff. Like, this is the thing that I interact with my opticians in the office all the time on. So as an optician, I want to get your input to all the doctors listening. What do you want to hear from us to make the very best doctor optical transfer?
Now, talking about this gets me kind of excited because I see a lot of things online in groups and forums where people don't know what we're talking about. So I think this is a hugely underserved opportunity for a practice. So in our practice, what we like to do with a doctor optician handoff is we actually have a way for the optician to get called into the room and actually talk with the doctor and the patient so they can reiterate everything. The doctor can reiterate everything that they have gone over, so they know, the patient knows that the doctor understands and the optician understands and they're in good hands. And then, you know, we walk them up there. We don't ever really leave them alone. And this is the opportunity for the doctor to say, you know, they're good for a year supply of contacts, or, you know, they have a progressive and they really would benefit for an occupational. Those type of suggestions that can just be, you know, put the patient's mind at ease that they're being taken care of and that we're not just trying to sell them something. And the other side of things is that sometimes the patient doesn't need anything. Their prescription didn't change or they don't wear contacts. Those types of things, we still use this as a big opportunity to just serve the patient. So in our office, if they don't need anything, we still get called back. We still walk them up. We sit down with them. We say, here's your prescription. Do you have any questions? Do you need your glasses adjusted while you're here? Do you need to schedule any other family members? And the way I'm saying it right now, it sounds like a spiel where we're just kind of spitting all these check boxes off, but it's super natural and it works really well. And people feel like before they leave that they're being cared for and that everything that they've come for is being taken care of. So we don't like to have this high salesy environment, and that's not what our office is about. But it's really, you know, they only come in once or twice a year, if anything. And this is your opportunity to let them get all those things taken care of, make them feel like they didn't forget anything or they don't have to come back. But also we like to stress, you know, if you have contacts, you can order on our website. Or if you have spray cleaners for your glasses, we do free refills. Swing in anytime. So just reassuring these types of services that we're here for can really kind of put a finality to your relationship, so they know that they can come to you when they get that new insurance plan or whatever, and they can not have to worry about it. Just, I know I can call them. They'll give me the answer, those sorts of things. And another thing we've incorporated in our handoff is when we give the patient the prescription, we also give them their patient portal login and tell them how they can get their records and that sort of thing. But in doing that, that sort of raises the bar for our care. Our patients are somewhat impressed by it. And our office is in Microsoft Amazon land. We're like really tech heavy where we are. But even with that, our patients are impressed that a one practice optometry clinic in this tiny little town with 3 stoplights has something that the major corporate hospital has up the street. So we're just showing them again that we're taking the next step, every step that we can, to help them and get exactly what they need out of their trip to the optometrist.
I so totally agree with you. I think not going to the optician for that handoff is a huge missed opportunity, whether the patient needs new glasses or not, right? There's a lot of things that an optician can help with just from getting the glasses adjusted correctly. Do they need new nose pads? Do they need just a good cleanup? And what I love about the handoff is I can basically cement the relationship that I just formed with the patient in the exam room by giving that verbal summary of everything we discussed in the room to the optician. And it's crazy to me because I'll do my little summary of what we found with their prescription change, what we found for next year, any appointments I want to have rescheduled for sooner in. And the patient will go be like, oh yeah, that was great. Like, you said it way better than I was going to. And I was like, great. So they know I listened to everything they told me. And I was able to verbalize that where they felt like, man, she did a thorough job. So just like one more touch point for me as the doctor to get to like wrap the little bow on the whole experience. But I, you know, so many times I've seen this where my patient really, they don't need new glasses. They're very happy with their current glasses, but we get them in with the optician. We discuss some of the things we've talked about. They start getting glasses repaired. They're in optical and they see something that they love. And, oh, well, you do have insurance benefits. Let's talk about that. So it just gives you that last opportunity, because I think we always fail as doctors if we view glasses as solely, a need. You either need new glasses or you don't. That's an archaic way of thinking. I, as a personal glasses wearer, want new glasses because I want to change up my look. I want something that's different and fun and speaks to my personal style. We've got to start thinking about it that way. Like, give people opportunity to look around and browse, even if it's just while you're cleaning their glasses up. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what you've got going next, because you are super busy. I mean, in addition to being a full-time optician, you've got all these other projects that you're working on with your own blog and then also with the magazines. So give me a little preview of what's going on as 2018 wraps up and into 2019 for you.
I've always got stuff going on, but this next year I'm really going to work on improving my website and getting core information on there that a lot of people can benefit from, and a lot of stories that are interesting and can always share a different perspective on things. Because I do think that knowing different stories can help, you can apply it differently in your world and learn more. So that's my main focus. Another thing that I'm working on is I'm currently a U.S. ambassador for Sight to Save, which is a nonprofit organization. And they're based in the UK, which is actually good because then they don't have to spend as much money getting to these countries that they're helping. And it is a nonprofit. It was founded by an aviation guy who is a real go-getter. And they travel to places to prevent avoidable blindness. And the reason why this is important is because opticians working with people with glasses, one of the easiest things you can do to help is to collect donations of unused glasses. And I mean glasses with prescriptions that people no longer use or want, Plano sunglasses, over-the-counter readers, and most importantly, any material that you have in your office that you don't use. If you have eye charts or low vision aids or any type of things that can help people see better. And these are trained professionals going to different countries. So if you have anything in your office of that nature that you want to donate, what I do is I can make it easier for you to get your things to them. So if you don't want to deal with shipping all this stuff across the pond over to Europe, I can collect all of these things for you. And one of the reasons I chose this organization, which is amazing, is that when they have donated glasses and they take them out of the country, they're tagged before they leave the country to relate back to where they came from. And what they do is when their glasses that were donated are matched up to the new owner, they take a picture and then the tag on the glasses tells where the picture came from. So if your office donates glasses, you will get a picture when your glasses are rehomed of who they were rehomed to. So not only is this a really like just in-depth step that nobody that I know of, nobody else is doing. But it's a really great way for your practice to integrate with your community in a marketing level, but also the patients know that they're going to a valid organization because they'll see where they go. And this is just another sense of community that your practice can use to help people and bond with your community. So if you have glasses or material that you'd like to donate, or you have questions on this, if you go to my website, there's a big icon about Sight to Save that you can get more information there. Or if you want to contact them directly, that's fine also. So that's kind of what I'm doing and where I'm going. So anybody else who is interested in following me or whatnot, you can find me at opticiannow.com. And also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter with Optician Now.
That is great. I've never heard of a donation company that's able to really show you like, oh, here's the person that got to enjoy the glasses that you gifted. That's such a great personal touch. If anyone listening wants to reach out to you about this project or just become a follower of what you're doing, what's a great way for them to follow you on social media?
You can find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Optician Now. Or email me at carissa@opticiannow.com. Or my website is opticiannow.com, where you can submit a guest post, inquire about sponsorships, or contact me about anything else.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.